The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, I always love to hear my family sing amen, and so what a blessing. Take your Bible and go now, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 22. I want us to, if I may, dissect some verses here tonight before we actually get down to where verse 26, which is going to be our text verse for understanding's sake. And again, I'm going to speak tonight on learning how not to quit. Now, Paul, of course, is speaking to Timothy. Paul, an older man of God, is speaking to a younger man of God. And he says this to young Timothy. He said, flee also youthful lust. Now, again, let me dissect some things or break them down if I may. Where he says, flee also youthful lust, that means in addition to. Flee also. In other words, there's other things you're supposed to flee, not just the list he's about to give you. One of the things that is on the list he's about to give you is, the first thing mentioned, youthful lust. Now, why is that? Well, the things that you lust after as a youth will carry over into your adulthood years. It will be like a shadow that follows you everywhere you go. You're going to have a very difficult time shaking that shadow. Now, in order to be able to do that, we have to understand how we can get those personal victories. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness. So you're fleeing from one thing, now you're going to follow another. By the way, if you don't flee, you never follow. If you don't follow, you'll never flee. The Bible says, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace. The Bible says, with all that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. You ever get with somebody and all they ask you is a question upon a question, really not leading to a certain area or making a certain decision? They just want to, for the sake of asking questions, ask questions. Well, the Bible says that those things do gender strifes. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. It says, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, can I tell you that it's hard sometimes to be patient with people? But God says we're supposed to do that. We're also supposed to use our ability to be able to be gentle to all men and teach them where they are teachable. The Bible says how to do it, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Have you ever seen somebody that opposes themselves? What are you talking about, preacher? Somebody that's always down on themselves. Somebody that always, well, I can't do that. Well, God will never use me. Well, I just think that, you know, maybe God is through with me. Well, I just think that, you know, maybe God gave up on me. They're opposing themselves. Have you ever seen a cutter? Somebody, and I've of course, helped many different variations of people, but have you ever seen a cutter? Somebody that spends time cutting on themselves. What are they doing? They're opposing themselves. Have you ever seen somebody that does drugs and they overdose from time to time, hoping to take their own life? What is that? That is somebody that is opposing them own selves. Can I tell you tonight that sometimes we are our worst enemies? The Bible says that they may, watch what it says in verse 25. It says, in meekness, it says, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, preadventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, if God will be able, and God is able, except for the fact, listen to me, man can turn God away. You ever go soul winning? You ever give somebody the gospel? It's so clear. It's so absolutely simple for a person to be able to turn to Christ, receive Christ as Savior. They believe on Him. They stop believing in the things that is conjured up by those that are indoctrinated in religious persuasions, such as believing that baptism will save. There's no saving grace in baptism. Believing that good works will save, but there's no saving grace in good works. believing that keeping one of the seven sacraments was saved, but there's no salvation in keeping one of the seven sacraments or all seven of them, or trying to obey the Ten Commandments. No, the Bible says that here, if God peradventure will give them repentance, says to acknowledge or to the acknowledging of the truth. Now watch this. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, the Bible says, who have taken captive by him at his will. Now I want to tell you something tonight. You choose tonight if the devil will take you captive. You choose. You choose tonight how much you want to play into his hand, how much you want to play on his court. You choose tonight, many times more than not, how much you give him preeminence in your life, because you do not have God first place in your life. I want to use that word recover tonight, and I want to show you, it's almost like a basketball term. The term would be to rebound, to rebound. So the Bible here is talking about that they may recover, or that they may rebound. Okay, so God is saying this, and by the way, listen to it now, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, why does God put that in the Bible? Why is it that God gives us such a truth in the Bible? Because sometimes you're going to have to rebound. Sometimes just in playing basketball alone, a man's going to take a shot, a lady's going to take a shot, they're going to miss, and the natural instinct of the player will be, the natural reaction of the player will be, rebound. Right. Okay? Now, by the way, can I tell you, when you fall into sin, I'll say the word fall into sin. When you decide perhaps you want to go into sin because you choose to do that, when perhaps you get tricked and you are tricked into sin, whatever the case may be, I'm telling you tonight that God wants you to rebound. God wants that to be a part of your natural life just as much as the basketball player shoots the shot, misses the shot, and he rebounds the shot. Can I tell you tonight, there's been many people that has rebound. There's been many people that has decided that they're going to take a shot. Yes, they meant to hit it. Yes, they meant it to go in. Yes, they thought it was a clean shot. Yes, they thought that it was going to be an absolute sink into the basket, but they missed. And the natural instinctiveness of a player is to run to the basket and to follow up that shot. The natural instinctiveness of a player is to take it to the basket, or what they call crashing the board. I mean, it is something natural that basketball player wants to do. And that's what Paul is telling young Timothy. He's saying, look, I'm telling you that there's going to be some times when there's going to be the youthful lust. There's going to be some times when a person decides not to follow after righteousness, not to walk in faith, not to be a charitable person, not to have peace, not to be able to follow God with a pure heart. He said, but when that comes in your life, what you need to decide to do is you need to decide that you're going to simply recover. You're going to simply decide that you are going to rebound. So when a person misses the shot, what's they're supposed to, by the way, you cannot rebound, listen to me, you cannot recover unless you understand you messed up. I didn't say cover up, I said messed up. All right? Now, wait a minute. You can't miss a shot unless you first take a shot. Some people are afraid to shoot because they're afraid to miss, but if you never shoot, you never miss. If you never miss, you'll never rebound. There is some things that God wants to put in your life. If you never get down, then you don't qualify to recover. If you never take a shot, then you don't qualify to recover. If you never have a burden in your life, then you don't qualify to recover. If you are an individual tonight and you have no setbacks in your life and you have that perfect lifestyle, no headaches, no trouble, no disappointments tonight, can I tell you, this verse was probably not written for you. But this is for the people tonight that do have struggles. This is for the one that the husband left the wife tonight. This is for the one tonight that the wife has left the husband or the child has now become rebellious, or somebody now has a failing business, or somebody has a broken down car, or somebody's house just burnt down, or maybe the spouse dies, or one of the children dies, or maybe there is problems inside of your financial world or inside of your spiritual world, here's what the Bible says: it is time for you to rebound. Billy Sunday died, and Ma Sunday outlived him by 30 years and still served God. How did she do that? She learned to rebound. John O. Rice died, and his wife outlived him by many years. And what did Mrs. Rice do in order to be able to do that? She understood the principle of rebounding. John Bunyan was thrown into that which was the Bedford prison. They said that you don't have a license to preach on the streets, and you're preaching on the streets without our permission, and so therefore, you're going to jail. He was thrown into jail. He spent 12 years in jail. 2 years after he was in jail, his daughter shows up. She was also 12 years of age. She was blind. She couldn't see. She went in with tearful eyes, and she was begging her daddy, please come home. Mama misses you. I miss you. Please come home. Daddy, all they're wanting you to do is just agree that you'll never preach on the street again. Oh, he wanted to go home so bad. But he looked at his daughter and he said, honey, I'm just being perfectly honest with you tonight. He said, if I get out of prison today, I'll be preaching on the streets tomorrow. Now, he decided that he was going to rebound. Now, that meant he was going to spend, as far as he knew, the rest of his life in jail. That did not matter. He was true to his God. I said he was true to his God. And because of that, he was willing to sacrifice whatever God would have for him. Fanny Crosby, she learned to rebound. She was blinded. She was born with blindness. But yet she rebounded, and because of that we have that which is blessed assurance and many, many other thousands of hymns that she did write. Mrs. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, Charles, you need to divorce me. I'm no good. You need a better woman than I am. You're pastoring tens of thousands of people, and I'm crippled, and I can't help you, and I can't counsel women, and I've got all these problems, and you need a wife that can stand beside you and lift your hands. And she said to her husband, oh, if you'll only divorce me. She asked him over and over again. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, you on your bed can pray down more power than any other 10 women can do on their knees. You stay on your bed, honey. I love you, and I don't want you to forsake me or forsake the ministry. You stay there. And she was his prayer warrior. And because of that, God built a wonderful, great, powerful gospel preaching church and preacher that would give the truth over and over, where tens of thousands of people would come simply because there was an invalid woman that was stuck in bed and could not get out, but she learned to rebound. She learned to pray. She learned to get with God and ask God to use her with the ability that she did have. And because of that, he became the great man of God that he was. She was still struggling, and so she said, I need a ministry. And she found out that she could have somebody to come in, and they could take notes as Spurgeon would preach, and she would put them in booklet form. They were called the Penny Sermons. In London, England, the greatest paper that was ever sold was called the London Times. They said that when Spurgeon started putting out his penny sermons, that people bought double the amount, according to the records, double the amount than they did of the London Times. You know why? Because there was a dear woman that was confined to a bed that couldn't get out, but did not use it as an excuse. She was confined to a bed, and she said, I can serve God just as powerful, just as with much might as anybody else that can walk. And can I tell you, if somebody like that can serve God that way, then certainly you and I can serve God. Yes. David committed an awful sin. But David did come back and serve the Lord. God used him to write many of the Psalms that you enjoy reading. Peter denied the Lord, denied the church, denied the faith. He cursed and he swore and even took off his exterior clothing. But yet 50 days later, he rebounded and he preached on the day of Pentecost and over 3,000 people came. Hey, can I tell you, dear friend, there is no excuse. Joseph was persecuted by his brothers. He was sold into bondage after being brought out of that dry, deep pit. He was sold into bondage. He wound up in Potiphar's house. He was lured into a situation and was cast into the king's prison. Listen to me. Over and over and over again, things was coming in his life. And can I tell you, listen, if you will, as you think about different ones that rebound, you think about different ones. I mean, Joseph, you knew who I was talking about, didn't you? Nod your head because you know your Bible real well. All right? And they're not nodding their head, I'm worried. And so Joseph, but Joseph went into Potiphar's house. Joseph, if you will, went and he had all these things. And if anybody could have got bitter with his brothers turning against him and casting him into that dry pit and selling him into bondage, it could have been Joseph. If he could have had vengeance and turned against his own brothers, his own kin, it could have been Joseph. But Joseph decided, I'm going to give it to God. And all of a sudden, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he said this. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive. Now, why was that? Because Joseph knew what it was not to get bitter at God, not to get bitter at his brothers, not to get bitter at his daddy, not to get bitter at his mama, not to get bitter. But he went to the God of heaven, the creator of all that ever was, is, and will be. And he took his burdens to God, and God gave him relief. He knew what it was to rebound. Abraham, a great leader, lost his faith, went down to Egypt. There, during the famine, he decided to trust his own ways rather than God's ways. But he rebounded and got things right. Jacob, if you will, was somebody that was a deceiver. Deceived his brother to get his father's birthright. Or to get his father's blessing, rather. Deceived his brother. Can I tell you? And then he ran 500 miles back to the old country. Being away from that. Took him 20 years, by the way, to get back on track. But eventually he did. Eventually he did rebound. John Mark, I don't know why he went home as we discussed this morning in the sermon, but he did. But eventually he did rebound. There was Mark Twain, filed bankruptcy 8 times, but he rebounded. There was President Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, failed 18 times in a row, 18 times, 16th president, 18 times failed. But he rebounded. There was Jonah. Jonah ran from the will of God, swallowed by a whale. Only to be spoken of with God speaking to him again. And he did rebound. Now, how is it that you and I can rebound? What is it that you and I can do? What are some lessons that we can put into our lives that will help us to be able to rebound so that you and I do not wind up backslidden and stay backslidden? Let me give you some things on how not to quit. Statement number one, practice rebounding in your life. Practice rebounding in your life. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Don't practice being defeated, practice rebounding. Don't practice being mad at somebody, practice forgiving. Don't practice trying to get even with somebody. Practice blessing. Don't practice trying to get somebody in trouble. You practice being a blessing to somebody. You've not read your Bible this year. Well, rebound. I said rebound. Rebound and go back and start reading your Bible again. You pray. Rebound. By the way, it's never too late to rebound. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I've shot it. I've missed it. I shot it. I missed it. I shot it. I missed it. That's fine. Shoot it again. But once you shoot it, decide that you're going to get the rebound on that. Decide that you're going to go and get that ball and shoot it again. You don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get upset. Well, so-and-so has me upset. Forget so-and-so and look at your God. Amen. Well, so-and-so's let me down. I can tell you the flesh of all man at one time or another is going to let you down. Amen. There is not a man sitting on this platform that's perfect. There's not a man or woman or child sitting in those pews out there or in those chairs in the balcony that's perfect. You say, well, so-and-so disappointed me. Get your eyes off of so-and-so. Put your eyes back on the Lord and just decide it doesn't matter who disappointed you. It doesn't matter who let you down. Don't get bitter at your God. Don't get upset at your God. Learn to take God at face value. God loves you. He cares about you. He is on your side tonight. I'm saying practice rebounding. Statement number two, stay on the offense. Stay on the offense. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, so built we the wall. The Bible says, and the wall was joined together onto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They didn't come down off the wall. Hello? Say, preacher, you ever had any trouble? Oh, yeah. I've had a bank full. Hello? Preacher, have you ever had somebody get upset with you? Oh, yeah. Preacher, have you ever had somebody get on Facebook and try to hurt you? Oh, yeah. Preacher, have you ever had anything written in a magazine about you? Oh, yeah. Preacher, have you ever had the media to show up? I remember up in Union City, Tennessee, we were, Church Christ area. Camelite, I don't like to be called that, but Camelite. And so we were leading a bunch of Church of Christ people. And by the way, you don't get saved by receiving Jesus and being baptized. Amen. It's Christ and Christ only. Amen. And by the way, when you know that, you understand. There's that married couple. Stand up, would you? Go ahead and stand up. Look at this. They are now married. Woo! Give them a hand. Isn't that good? Yeah, so good. Oh, wow. How's it feel? You okay? Did you have a fight yet? Don't answer that. But, yeah, don't forget to rebound. But I was pastoring there in Tennessee, and all of a sudden, we were leading a bunch of Church of Christ people to Christ. Well, you know, if they're not saved, then they get saved, they need to be baptized. That is scriptural. You're supposed to get baptized after you get saved. And so we started baptizing them. Oh, man, the Church of Christ brethren to themselves, that is, they got mad at me. My wife could attest to this. They had a tent meeting, where the Church of Christ churches came together. They had a banner out front that had a picture of me with horns coming out. They were upset. Say, how do you know? I sent one of the staff guys over there. I wasn't going to go over there because somebody might feel led of God to shoot the devil. But we were leading so many of them to Christ, and they were truly getting born again, and they were getting baptized, and they got mad at me. Now, I don't know why anybody would get mad at somebody else for leading somebody to Christ and showing them they don't have to burn and die and go to hell. I'm saying tonight, stay on the offense. You decide that when somebody comes against you, you still love God, you still serve God, you still be faithful to church, you still read your Bible, you still pray, you still tithe, you still go soul winning, you still have the right type of testimony, you don't lay down your standards, you don't walk away, you decide, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. You decide to stay true to the things that God has for you. So what do? How is it that you can be a person that does not quit? Practice rebounding. By the way, practice it in your mind. Hello? I don't know how many preachers do this, but I do this. I'll be mulling over a message, you know. I'll be praying over a message. And then I'll envision myself preaching the message. And I envision myself delivering that truth. Oh, I'll go a step further. I envision people coming forward and praying because of that truth. Now, I don't know where I got that from, but I like it. So before I preach the message to you, I've already preached it about 10 or 20 times. I preach it in my bed. Amen. I look at Mrs. Wells and say, repent. I don't do that. I don't do that. I like staying married. But, you know, but and she'll turn to me and she says, so you do it first, big boy, you know. But you know, I mean, I'll go through it. I really will. I'll go through it in my head. I really will. Sometimes I'll be driving down the road and I'll pass. I will. I'll pass where I'm supposed to get off because I'm preaching the message to me already. So you say, oh, you don't have a right to get up and holler the way that you holler preaching the Bible. I've already hollered at me 20 times more than I holler at you. I mean, it's good for the preacher to get right before he tries to help the people get right. Hello. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so Curtis Hudson, old Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson's so funny. He wanted to be able to preach to a bunch of people and whatnot. He was pastoring here in Atlanta. It wasn't growing at all. And he was a mailman at the time. But he envisioned that one day he would preach and many people would come forward and get saved and people would get baptized. So he went out and he practiced. He found himself a bunch of cans. You might remember the story. And he tied strings around 20 cans or so. And he'd go out in the garage, he'd preach to those cans. He'd say, you need to receive Christ as Savior. That's right. I'm talking to you, Coca-Cola. That's right, Dr. Pepper. Okay, Mr. Sprite, you straighten up and you listen. Oh, yeah, you big diet Dr. Coke or whatever. There's no such thing. But I was going good. And then he would say, every head bowed, every eye closed, he'd pull them a little bit and all the cans would fall. He said, I'm giving an invitation right now for God, and you need to come forward, and you need to receive Christ as Savior. And he'd pull all the cans as they'd all come forward to get saved. See, that's crazy. Hey, it's better than doing drugs. Oh, but preacher, you expect some of our preacher boys to do something like that. Hey, get yourself a vision about how God can use you and what God wants to do through you. Can I tell you, great is the God that you serve, and it doesn't matter who you are tonight. You just decide you're going to be that individual. If you're down tonight, you decide you're going to get up, you're going to rebound, you're going to stay on the offense. Hey, shoot the ball again. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, he said, I count not myself as to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, but so-and-so hurt my feelings. Forgetting those things that are get over it. How many times do I have to say it over and over again? Who said tell it again? Raise your hand, confess. Thank you. Brother Yao just got over it. But don't be somebody that's always, man, you know, no, everybody, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. I'll give them to you. Get over it. Stop having a pity party. By the way, when you're having a pity party and you're not getting over it, that means that God is not first in your life. I'll repeat that. That means that God is not first in your life. You cannot sit there and have a pity party. Oh, everybody's picking on me and nobody loves me and everybody hates me. Hey, where's your God? You get with him and let him be the one that will help you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brother, I count not myself, Paul said, as to apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, you know what I did years ago? It helped me so much as a young preacher. Here's what I did. I understood the calling of God was the calling of God. It wasn't the calling of man. It was the calling of God. See, I think if we would understand that there's a calling of God, we can be a little bit more bold. I think we can be real if we realize there's a calling of God. By the way, the Bible says the callings of God, says the gifts gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means God is not going to change his mind. So if God's called you to preach, you say, but preacher, you understand, I'm called to preach and I'm not pastoring. That doesn't matter. Your call does not change. I know a lot of people, it's called to preach. They're not pastoring a church, but here's what they're doing. They're going to preach at a rescue mission. They're preaching on a bus route. They're preaching in a nursing home. Oh, but preacher, that's stepping down. Okay, tell that to the poor people in the nursing home. See if they come back to hear you. It's not stepping down. You know, who are you to think that, I'm talking predominantly to our younger preacher boys, who are you to think that God has got to give you a church the size of Parkside Baptist Church in order to be somebody? Can I say this tonight? That it's a very humbling experience to be entrusted with the lives of such young people and the lives of such old people. But it's not something of pride. You know what it means when you pastor more people? Can I tell you? It means more tears. That's what it means. You know what it means? It means more of a burden. You know what that means? You know what it means? It means more ministry, which means you have to raise more money. You know what that means? You know it means that you stay up late counseling people and you don't get to go home like a regular guy? That's what it means. You know what it means? It means that you stay awake and you look for a truth because God says, you know, you got 10 or 20 people in a group there and they really need to hear this and it would encourage other people too. That's what it means. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. Oh, I just pray that God would allow me one day to pastor a good-sized church. Then you better pray that God gives you the grace. And even if God does give you the grace, and one day you just feel like not shooting, you got to realize you need to still shoot. Because you got people out there that are still needing to be encouraged because they're in the bus ministry and they're discouraged. Because they're a Sunday school teacher and they're discouraged. Because there's a young person that's come to the Bible college that's thinking about quitting and going back home and never doing ministry again. Because there's people that's having financial difficulties and people that's having marital problems and people that's having problems with rebellious teenagers and people that's having difficulties just getting along in life by themselves. Now, what do? You practice rebounding yourself. You stay on the offensive. By the way, it's better to pick up and play the offensive, the shot, than it is the defensive because you can reshoot it again right there. You shoot the ball again. Let me give you this. I'm almost done. You follow up every shot. You follow up every shot. And watch this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and in verse 9, the Bible says two are better than one because they have a good reward in their labor. Their labor too. The Bible says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm going to show you a true, caring Baptist church. Brother Crutcher, come help me. So Brother Crutcher and I, you know, we're about the same age. He looks older than I do. But we're walking along. And, you know, I'm not feeling well spiritually. And I start to miss a little bit. And I'm just having trouble in my spiritual life. My knees are weak. I'm just having trouble in my spiritual life. And I start to fall. And my brother, who's a caring brother, will pick me up. He doesn't kick me.
Right.
He doesn't spit on me.
Right.
He doesn't get on Facebook about me.
Right.
Now, I'm talking true blue Christianity.
Amen.
We're not in this to destroy each other. We're in this to help each other. Oh, but you say, preacher, you don't understand what that person did. Oh, yeah, and you're a good enough Christian to judge them, I'm sure. Now, I don't think so. You're supposed to help somebody. You say, well, I see people. Well, I do too. Here's a list of people not here tonight. So you can't read it. I'm not turning it your way. But these are a group of people I'll pray for by name. They're not here tonight. I would try and text them and contact them or write them a letter. Just to let them know. Not to dive on them. Not to kick them. Just say, hey, thought about you and missed you. Sure do love you. You say, well, preacher, you know, why would you want to do something like that? Because I think it's important, don't you?
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Watch this. All of a sudden, I'm walking along with Brother Crutcher, and he begins to fall. Let's go this way because I'm stronger in my right arm. So, all right, so he begins to fall. Man, you're heavy. All right, what do? I try and pick him up. But if I cannot pick him up, Craig, get up here. If I cannot pick him up, then I'm thank you, Brother Craig. Then I'm going to call for somebody else to help. But, man, he's been eating so much Wheaties. By the way, this guy runs 5 miles a day. No, he said five. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you run six or five?
Five,
okay. So he runs 5 miles a day. 5 miles a day. Watch this. 5 miles a day. So, but he's still, man, it's all muscle mass. Your wife told me to say that. So, Brother Jonathan, come. So we're trying to help him. Brother Palmer, get up here, would you? Trying to help him. Yeah, trying to heal. Brother Palmer comes up and says, heal. Say, what happened? Didn't work. Don't go to him. All right, thank you. Watch this. Here's what we got tonight. So do the follow-up shot, but don't do it by yourself. Ball goes up, boom, goes in. That's great. Super. Move on. Ball goes up. Doesn't go in. Somebody needs to run and say, I'm going to grab that. Even though he made the shot and missed, somebody needs to help that ball to go in. Somebody needs to run up and say, for the team's sake, let me help you. For the team, for the church's sake, let me help you. You know, for the Lord's sake, let me help you. Can I tell you something tonight? As a church, we're supposed to go forward together. There is no Superman's here. There is no Superwoman's here. There is no super dogs here. We don't have any super mice or super lice. Though I did see some that, no, I'm saying this tonight, the follow-up shot. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. Then shoot again. Once you get the ball, shoot it again. Once you get the ball, shoot it again. Once you were out of the bus ministry and you got back in the bus ministry, shoot again. Once you stop soul winning, but somebody helped to rebound you, then you shoot again as a soul winner. Once you stop reading your Bible, but a message encouraged you, hey, get somebody to help you and shoot it again. You know, once all of a sudden you've made it through your poochy lip time, then get somebody to help you and to walk beside you and to simply shoot it again. I was a fifth and sixth grade teacher in an academy in Brooklyn, New York. My wife taught kindergarten. I taught fifth and sixth grade boys and girls. And then I would go over and take them out to their PE time. We'd go down to Prospect Park. I had this little boy by the name of Perez. Perez, you remember him? Little Perez boy. Real short little fella. You know, I mean, he was probably, he was just a short little fella. You know, and he always lagged behind. He just always lagged behind. And so we were down at Prospect Park, and I took a ball, and I took a bat, We were down there, and it was during the 80s, and so there were some gang problems and stuff like that. And so I remember being down at Prospect Park, and I took my class down there, and all of a sudden, these guys come rushing out of the woods, and they got knives. Now, I didn't know it, but they were going after the Perez boy. He wasn't with us. He separated himself, just kind of, you know, you ever see the kid? He's just never with it. Now, I don't know what he's doing today. I'm sure he watches the podcast, and I think you're doing great today. But he had kind of lagged behind, you know? And so I didn't know. And I looked back there, and all of a sudden, he was surrounded by these tough-looking gurus, dudes, or whatever you call them. And I got mad because they were going to hurt one of my students. I grabbed that baseball bat. I went running after them like Geronimo. I even had the Indian call. I said, hey! I said, leave that boy alone! And I went back with that bat. Now, forgive me, but I didn't want them to hurt him. I said, I'm going to bust your head! And I went running in there with that baseball bat. I said, give me the knife. Come after me. I'll make you eat it. And all of a sudden, because I was yelling that loud, they felt led of God to run. I was so glad. Now, can I tell you something, though? Listen to me. We do what we do because we care. Why is it that a bus captain, stay with me and I'm done. Why is it that a bus captain who works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no day off, then will put in a full day on Saturday, ride a hot bus all summer long, never complain, never, and is always there to serve? Why is it that they would do such? Because they're not in it for them, they're in it for him, and they care about them. Wait a minute, stay with me now. What if a bus captain, what if a bus captain would get down? You say, but preacher, you don't understand. He's a different color than I am. You don't think God knows that? Hello? By the way, God brought him out of the shop that way. God brought me out of the shop this way. And I can't help it if I look better than he does. What if a bus captain gets down? It is my responsibility to help him up. All right, what if a deacon, come here, Brother Yao. What if a deacon gets down? You're going to get what I'm saying here in just a minute. What if a deacon gets down? Here he is. Turn around. So it's my responsibility to help him up. Hello. Come here, Michael. Come here. What if a teenager gets down? Then it's my responsibility to help him up. What if an old man gets down? Come here, Brother Bradley. Come here. Turn around. It's my responsibility to help him up. That's my responsibility.
I'm going to need it after this.
You know, what if your kid gets down? I mean, what if your child gets down? Give me one of the Harrison's boys. Yeah, come here. You're on the front row. Come here. I didn't see you. You're so small. I didn't see you. Turn around. It's my responsibility to help him up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Stay with the truth. After a while, that becomes impossible. See, that's why a church works together. That's why when you see somebody missing Sunday school, don't wait for the preacher.
Right. Amen.
Well, preacher, if he cared, he'd be going after them. Do you ever think that maybe there's a bunch of them?
Right.
Well, you know, I saw so-and-so. They weren't in the choir today. Well, I know Brother Palmore. He's, you know, we've got 50-plus adults in the choir. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. Watch. I'm saying this tonight. You do your best. You try and help your team. Obeying the will of God. Obeying the will of God. But all of a sudden, when somebody misses, you help them to rebound. Now, you're supposed to be rebounding yourself. Now, I learned a long time ago that there's no sense me really sharing a lot of my burdens with people because of the fact that they're just people. I'm not trying to slight you, but you are a people. So what do? I go to God. He's bigger than you are. No slap. He's a whole lot better than you are. So I just don't share my burdens very often with hardly anybody. Why? Because God. He can take care of it quicker than you can, better than you can, wiser than you can, and He is God.
Amen.
But wait a minute. What if you see somebody that they're struggling? Then you rise up and you run to them and say, can I help you? And hopefully after a while, you're helping them and you're still shooting. And you're helping them and you're still shooting. You know, and he starts to fall and I pick him up, put the ball back in his hand and say, shoot it. It didn't work. Shoot it again. Try both hands. Look at the basket instead of me. You got it in. That was good. And after a while with me working with him, come on. Now he's coming to Sunday school by himself. Now he's coming to preaching services in the evening time just like you because you love God. You've changed some things in your life. He's obeying the Lord in his finances and so many other areas. All because I practice rebounding myself, that I help him to rebound in his life. Father, help us tonight, I pray. Simple message.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.